So turn to the person next to you, please, and ask him this question. Don't you wish you looked as good as I do today? All right. We're going to dig into the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you right up front, this is not going to be fun, okay? Not a ton of humor in this, because we're going to look at the battle of the mind that we face. And we talk about what we think about, and we think about what we love. And so if you really, really want to know what's deep in that heart and what you really, really are, listen to what you say, listen to what you think, okay? We talk about what we think about and we think about what we love. Now, I have to remind you of this. Probably, I don't know, 85% of my preaching is to teenagers, okay? I'm still a youth camp guy from New Hampshire, and I actually, Pastor, get a little bit nervous when I get in front of all these old people, okay? So I just remind myself that you're nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay, all right? We got it. The Bible says, flee also youthful lusts. And it doesn't just say this is for the youth. This is the lust that, like, some of us hang on to for many, many years. But follow, look what it says, righteousness, doing right, faith, love, or charity, peace. And this is the key. How do you do this? How do you stay pure? How do you walk with God in such a wicked, wicked world with them that call on God out of a pure heart? You got to have friends that will pray with you and for you. Can't do this in your own strength, okay? And one of the reasons is because what we're facing. You see, no man can serve two masters. You can't do it. And if you look at this specifically, he'll either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one, be loyal to the one. Despise means looks down on the other. So in regards to the battle of the mind, specifically what the internet offers in regards to pornography and filth, if you want to live this verse, if you want to read this verse the way it is in life, it's kind of like this. So you're alone at night, you're sitting there, you got your iPad in front of you, and you're tempted to look at trash. And what you actually would simply say if you choose to be involved with this is say, hey, Lord, just want you to know that for, maybe the next half hour, I'm going to love this. And at least I'm going to act like I hate you. And for the next 30 minutes, Lord, I'm going to be loyal to this. This is what I want. And for at least those 30 minutes, to me, you mean absolutely nothing. Now, I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but it's not, guys. You talk about what you think about, and you think about what you love. And we're going to look at the consequences of the dark side of the internet in this first session, and then what God allows us to do through meditation of his word in the second session. But I dare say that I already know what you guys are going to do in regards to thought life and porn. I already know what you're going to do 2 years from now. I do. You're going to do what you love. I'm serious. And if you love God and you love your wife and you love your kids and you love your church and your ministry, you're going to do right. You're going to fight that stuff. You're going to fall, but you're going to get back up and you're going to keep fighting. But if you love you more than you love your wife, your kids, your church, your God, then guys, you're headed for a really, really sad life, okay? So let's dig in. The dark side of the internet. This is the kind of text or emails that I often get, okay? Let me just read it. Mr. Rand, I don't know what to say. A few weeks ago, I caught my dad looking at pornography. I told myself I didn't really see what I thought, even though I often catch him quickly exiting the screen when someone comes near. I'm homeschooled, and today while doing school, I looked over, and there it was right in front of him. I don't know what came over me. I was angry, and it felt as though he had reached in and tore my heart out. I called his name and asked what he was doing. He quickly exited out of it and said he was trying to get a pop-up off his Facebook, and he told me that he wasn't looking at it. I don't know whether to believe him or not. Please pray. Pray for me. I don't want to be bitter or treat him coldly, but at the same time, he's the pastor of our church. If it's true, I can't sit there and listen and preach every Sunday and Wednesday. Please pray for me, Mr. Rand. I don't know what to do. And you see, a big part of the problem is you never ever sin on an island, okay? It's not like this is only your little struggle and your little battle, because we are being watched all the time. I mean, I counsel kids who these girls tell me they push a dresser in front of their bedroom door at night because they know what their dads or their brothers are watching. They're scared. No kid should have to grow up like that, yeah? Shouldn't at all. So, we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 8. We'll have it on the screen. You can open it in your Bible. Now, I know that God did not, send this portion of Scripture to us just with the internet in mind. But I also know this. This is a picture of what was going on in the midst of, ready, God's people. Not the heathen, but in the midst of God's people. And also remember, to God, 1,000 years is but a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So like 2,000 years ago was like the day before yesterday for God. Here's what the Bible says. It came to pass in the 6th year and the 6th month and the 5th day of the month as I sat in mine house that the elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. And I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, describing here the glory of God, okay? From his appearance of his loins even downward, fire. From his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. I love that word, amber. That's my wife's name. Okay, verse 3. He put forth the form of a hand, and he took me by a lock of mine head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven. And he brought me to the visions of God, to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks towards the north, where was the seat of the image of, say the next word, jealousy, which provoketh to, say it again, jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel is there, according to the vision I saw in the plain. I want to stop there 1 second. When it speaks here of God's jealousy, okay, God is not jealous of. God is jealous for us. What do I mean? He knows what kind of love can reach down and grab a hold of our hearts. Or I could put it this way. He knows what kind of love can reach down and grab a hold of your 14-year-old son's heart and pull it away from him so that actually that individual will start loving their sin more than they love God. He said to me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now toward the north. So I lift up mine eyes towards the north, and behold, northward the gate of this altar, this image of jealousy. He said furthermore to me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here? Whenever you read the word abomination in the Bible, you should think hate, hate, hate. If you want to see what God really, really hates, and then what does he say? That I should go far off from my sanctuary. You see, sanctuary is a place of worship, corporately when we get together as a church, but even privately when you meet with God early morning, wherever it might be, that special place, it's a place of worship. Almost, and I hate to say every time, but almost every time, whether it be an adult, a teenager, a college guy that come up to me and say, Rand, can I talk to you? I say, yeah, what's up? Man, I don't know what to do. I'm addicted to porn. Can you help me? I said, I can. I should say God can. But before we begin, I got a question for you. How's your devotional life? Almost every time, this is what they do. You cannot spend morning after morning digging into the Word of God, learning to love God more, and then spend night after night filling your mind with trash. So at whatever point you push God out of the sanctuary, you don't consistently and constantly find that unhindered and unhurried time to dwell with him. At whatever point we push God out of our devotional life, it's just a matter of time before we push him out of our lives. And he says, but turn thee yet again, thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And then he said unto me, Son of man, dig down the wall. When I dig the wall, behold a door. If you're young here, this is almost like a Zelda thing going on here, okay? All right. And then he said, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols that the house of Israel portrayed on the wall round about. When Ezekiel walked in this room, there was graffiti on the walls, both words and pictures that depicted the most wicked immorality and perversion could even be imagined. And that's a picture of the dark side of the internet. Every type of trash, ugliness, perversion. There stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. Who are these guys? And I'm not being funny, okay? The ancients. Those are the guys that should know better. Those are the guys who for years, by reason of use, have been in the Word of God and have learned to say no, no to those ugly desires of the flesh. The ancients, they're called today dads and granddads, who should know better by now. But he goes on to say, in the midst of them stood Jasnah, the son of Shaphan. Who's this? Shaphan was the one that read the Word of God when King Josiah had the great revival. Jazaniah heard his daddy read the Word of God. Wow. And we're not talking about people that don't know God. We're talking about those who know God. And they know what he loves. And they know what he hates. And they still make these choices. He said to me, son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man the chambers of his imagery, or the rooms of his imagination. For they say the Lord seeth us not. They say the Lord hath forsaken the earth. So guys, I'm your friend, okay? But I got to ask us all, what do you do in the dark when you think nobody's watching? What do you do in the dark when you think you'll totally get away with it? What do you do in the dark when you think nobody will check you up or follow you up on this one? One thing about these guys we do know, they did not know God very well. Look what it says. It says, they say the Lord seeth us not. Lie. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You cannot hide from God. And why would you even want to? They say the Lord hath forsaken the earth. No, he hasn't. And he never will. They don't know God very well. He said also to me, turn to the head again, thou shalt see greater abominations than they do. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now, who is this? Tammuz was a false god. There's a month named after this god in some areas. But this false god, once a year, they would gather together. And when they worshiped this god, guys, every form of immorality, even to the point they were taking their babies and killing their babies and sacrificing them to this god. And then he says, turn down again, and you'll see greater abominations. I'm thinking, what can be worse? Every form of immorality, the killing of the children. He brought me to the inner courts of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 5 and 20 men, again, describing spiritual leaders here, ready, with their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. God, we don't want to worship you anymore. They leave his sanctuary. Now they're literally turning their backs on God and only worshiping that which God hates. There's a digression that goes here, guys. And every time we take another step away from God, whoa. He said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah they commit the abominations they commit here? Is this a light thing? Is this not a big deal? Does this really, really matter? They filled the land with violence. They've returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put a branch to their nose. What does this mean? The only way to explain it, and I'm not trying to be crass in any way, but what they would do with sign language back then is when today a man would show his contempt by giving somebody the finger. That's what they did to God. God, we don't want to worship you. God, we don't even want you in our lives. And now they're mocking God. The last verse is sad. Therefore, God says, I'll deal in my fury. Guys, I hope we don't think that God doesn't get angry about sin. God hates sin. He destroyed the world with a flood. Kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. Sent his son to die a horrific death. Why? Why does God hate sin so much? Because he loves you guys so much. Sin is the only thing that separates us. Got it? Remember, salvation is not a choice between heaven and hell. Those are consequences of the choice. We are saved from our sin. We are saved from the penalty of our sin. It's a choice between our sin and Jesus. He said, "Mine eyes shall not spare." I'm not going to overlook this. I will not overlook it. Maybe not in your timetable, but I'm not going to overlook this. Neither will I have pity, and though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. What does that mean? As a Christian, when we pray and we ask God to forgive us of our sins, does he forgive us, yes or no? Does he always remove the consequences of sin? Hey, God, we don't want to worship you. God, we don't even want you in our lives telling us what to do anymore. You know what God said here? He said, okay. The ultimate of God's wrath, guys, is not chastisement and correction. The ultimate of God's wrath is when God gets silent. It's all over Romans 1. You don't want me? Are you sure? You don't want me in your life? You never want me in your life? Okay. God says, I will give you what you want. A life without me, both now and forever. In this situation, they allowed another nation to come in, take control of these people. These people became slaves. Men no longer had a say about what they would do or what they wouldn't do. They literally were slaves. And you must understand, when it comes to the dark side of the internet and the addiction to porn, they say the addiction to porn, breaking the habit, is more difficult than breaking the habit for cocaine. And with women, in this world, we don't talk about it much. Basically, in slavery, women are nothing more than a piece of trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. It's the same thing, the dark side of the internet. Same thing in the use of porn. They treat women as trash to be used, abused, and thrown away. So, what can we do? We're going to look at the power of the dark side of the internet, its perversity, in a little bit. Its privacy, I should say, its false sense of privacy. Its price tag, what it will cost us, and its prevention. And I promise we'll be done by Tuesday, okay? What about the power? Therefore, there stood before the 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. We must realize that there's none of us, not one of us, that are exempt from the pull and the power of the dark side of the internet. Not one of us in here, okay? Not you, not your best friend, not your pastors, not your sons. No one is beyond the pull of the dark side of the internet. Who was one of the strongest men in the Bible? His name? What destroyed his walk with God? His incredible lust for strange women. Who was one of the wisest kings in all the Bible? His name? Solomon. You know? What do you have, 700 wives and 300 cucumber vines or whatever it was, okay? And again, the strange woman pulled his heart away from God. Who is one of the most godly kings in all the Bible? David. Did David love God? Yes. Did David sing praises to God? Yes. Did David hate sin? Yes. Did he choose to sin? Yes. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands, take heed, watch out, be careful, guys, lest you fall. I mean... The spirit wants to do what is right, but our flesh is so weak. Speaking of the strange woman, the Bible says she has cast down many wounded. Many strong men have been slain by her. And again, if we think we can dabble, and it's just a matter of time, okay? Regarding his perversity, go in and see the wicked abominations that they do here. And I don't have to spend any time explaining how perverse the dark side of the internet is. Now, I know the internet is part of our life, and there's a lot of it that we use, and we need it. And I mean, I do. I get to communicate with my friends who are missionaries all over the world. There's some great aspects to the internet. But the dark side, wow. And probably one of the things that's the saddest is a proliferation of child pornography. Do you know what I do as a camp director when I'm not preaching or being stupid in our skit time or taking a hike? I sit in my office with kids. And horrendous stories, you know, like I'm sitting with this 14-year-old girl whose mom's boyfriend raped her, and now she had AIDS and she's going to die. Or a 15-year-old girl, similar thing happened to her, only she got pregnant, and then they forced her to have an abortion. She's in my office screaming, "They made me kill my baby, they made me kill my baby." And every single time there's any child pornography, some kid's life has been destroyed. Some kid's life has been wrecked. And we like seek to get our jollies, our thrills through that. It doesn't make much sense, does it? It's privacy. Have thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Guys, we all know this. There is no privacy. Delete does not mean delete. And your secret sins may not be as secret as you think they are. You say, "Well, it hasn't happened to me yet." Maybe as God convicts your heart, but maybe Satan is helping you to keep it hidden until maybe your influence is a little bit stronger. Maybe it'd be more devastating for your older teens There is no privacy. I tell the kids all the time, the teens, I said, "You know, it's amazing. You guys are so good in front of your parents, in front of teachers and all. But boy, you get by yourself and you're mean at each other, you know? Oh, here comes a teacher. We'll be good." What about God? You hide this stuff from your wife. And you would be devastated if she walked in on you or caught you or even saw what you thumbed through on your Instagram. You forget that God sees all. Now, I will say the cool thing of this, not the sin. He still loves us. Isn't that crazy? I don't know if you've ever read Gentle and Lowly by Ortland, but it'll change your life. It is true. We cannot out-sin or out-doubt the wonderful mercy and grace of God. But when the Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit," God chose to put that word grieve. I my mother died young. I stood there. We had a little son, a boy that died at birth. I know what grief feels like. I don't even know how to explain it. But I'm thinking, if that's what, like, God feels when we sin, wow. There is no privacy. Delete does not mean delete. And once again, if you're involved in this and trying to hide this, it's just a matter of time. What will it cost us? "Therefore, I will deal in my fury. Mine eye shall not spare. I will not have pity." What will it cost us? Everything. I should say it this way. Everything that you really, really love. You know, you guys, you can build a trust account for many, many, many years. And you can bankrupt yourself in like 3 minutes. And we only have two motivations in love, in life, in regards to this, I should say. One is fear and one is love. Why do you do what you do? In this area, really, in any area, why do you do what you do? There is the fear of being caught, being embarrassed, hurting those that you love. So that's a fear that's a good fear, in a way. But what about the love one? A couple months ago at camp, had a couples retreat, and there's a young couple, early mid-30s, and they said, "Rand, we really need to talk to you." And I could tell they were at odds with each other. So we went out on the porch of our barn there and sat down and said, "What can I help you with?" And they had a hard time talking, and finally she looks up very angrily and says, "He's addicted to porn." And I looked at him and I said, "Is this right?" "Yes." "You're addicted. That means you do it a lot." "Yeah." "Why do you want to quit?" "If you love it that much and you've allowed yourself to become addicted to it, why do you want to quit?" He says, because she's always mad at me. I said, give me another reason. He said, I feel like a loser, okay? It's like I can't say no. So give me another reason. He said, okay, I got two little kids. What do you think they'll think when they get older? I said, could you give me one more reason? He said, well, even at work, if they find out, I might get fired. I leaned back and said, dude, I can't help you. I did. I told him I couldn't help him. He said, what do you mean you can't help me? I said, the same reason you want to quit is the same reason you're doing it. You said, I feel like a bum and she hates me. What if my kid? You didn't even mention your love for your wife, your love for your kids, or your love for God. You think about or talk about what you think about, and you think about what you really, really, really love. And so I can give us all the hows to change. We can set up the time you spend in meditation and memorization and get accountability. And there's, you can go right now online and find all kinds of ways to be pure in 38 days. That's not the problem. It's not the how. It's the why. Because even if you do figure out the how and you get real good and you get real clean and you don't do any of this, remember when we stand before God, this judgment stuff is not what we did. It's why we did it. The wood, hay, and stubble stuff. That's the why. That's the motivation. And if everything we do is for self and it's selfish motivation, that's where the wood, hay, and stubble come in. The greatest of all commandments is love. Okay? And if you really, really love your God and love your family more than you love yourself, then and only then will you see good victory in this, okay? All right. So what about the prevention? Is it possible? Now that we're all scared, what can we do? Behold the glory of the God of Israel. I think we forget that God is still God, okay? And he's still holy and he's still powerful and he's still loving and he's still forgiving. And God wants to empower us to please him. How many of you know Christ as your Savior? Let me see your hands high, okay? All right, most of you raised your hands. That is wonderful. If you know Christ as your Savior, then that Holy Spirit lives within. Got it? That enabler. That Philippians 2:13 one where it says, it is God through his Spirit that works in you both to what? To will and to do of his good pleasure. Or he will give you the power and the desire to please him. If I ask you to raise your hands, I dare say, how many of you guys really want to stay pure in this impure world? We'd all raise our hands. That's already the Spirit of God working within you. Because for the natural man, that's not natural. They don't want to be pure. This stuff is fun. It gives you at least that physical dopamine feeling and that you keep running back to, okay? But those individuals who don't know our Lord have never had the wonderful privilege of getting on their knees and crying out to God and getting forgiveness and loving. And I don't want to call it a spiritual dopamine, but in a way, it's like, this is wonderful. The difference is God's way takes consistency, constancy, and time. The world's way, the devil's way, the flesh way, it's instantaneous. You get the good feeling, boom, and then the bad feeling follows it right away. But when you learn to put your Lord up and family and so forth, that's the difference. So we're going to look at four Bible truths. Now, remember, I preach to teens, okay, so hang on. Secret agent principle, the surfer dude principle, the sumo wrestler, hang on, I'll explain it, and the strange woman principle. Secret agents, cool. My favorite was still this guy named Maxwell Smart. He used to take his shoe off and talk into it as a phone, okay? Secret agents sneak around so that nobody can find them. I beg you guys, please, for God, for your love for God and your love for your family, don't be a secret agent, okay? Don't sneak around to see what you can do or what you can get away with. Lord, let the words of my mouth, everything I say, which also involves some of this yuckiness online with even where you're communicating with individuals and sexting and talking filthy, and the meditation of my heart. Lord, I want everything I think to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Don't be a secret agent. How do you deal with this? Number one, accountability. If you really struggle with this, then don't go online alone. Make sure your computer or your phone or your iPad, whatever it is in the kitchen. Visibility. Don't surf in secret. Guys, I don't know if you have your little room or your little study and you have a lock to it and nobody can check it and nobody knows your passwords and stuff. You're just setting yourself up for failure. Be in a way that anybody, anytime could check on this. It's kind of like Covenant Eyes is the thing we put on all the Wild's computers, and it doesn't stop anything, but it does take screenshots of everything. And that can be pretty embarrassing for your IT guy when he lets the administration know what's going on. Vulnerability, never talk to strangers. By the way, teach your kids this. You say, well, we'd never let them come and knock on the door and say, hi, can I tell you why hell is not real and why God is? You would never allow that. They find it online. Yeah, I want our kids to be pure, but I don't want anybody in there talking them out of the truth. The surfer dude principle. Surfer dudes are not always known technically for their intelligence, okay? Just like gag me with a spoon, the next big one here. I actually get to preach. I've been to Hawaii 5 times. And I preach at a Christian school there. And I had a friend named Billy Hopper who's a pastor, but he's also a surfer. And last time I was there, he goes, oh, Rand, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to go surfing. I said, no, we're not. I'm not a water guy. He said, yeah. The waves are 10 feet high. I said, what if you fall off a wave that's 10 feet high? It'd be like falling off a wall, but you're not going to fall because I'm going to be with you. But we got to go early in the week because they say the undertow is shifting. We might have some problem with sharks. Stop, okay? I'm not going surfing. I still wear swimmies when I get in the bathtub. I'm not going swimming, okay? A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. If you're prudent, you say, man, if I go through those doors right there, I'm going to be in trouble. Then don't go through those doors. It's that simple. Guys would come up to me and say, oh, Rand, I don't know what to do. I'm so addicted to this stuff. Okay, a couple quick questions. Where do you have a problem? In my room. When? At night. What are you doing? I'm surfing the web. Look at me. Don't be stupid. Put your computer. Get a book. Put your computer in the kitchen. Take the door off if you need to, okay? Just a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. But the simple, just click on. Just pass on. By the way, you know what the Greek word there for simple is? Moros. You know what word sounds like moros? Moron. We're idiots if we think we can mess around with the dark side of the internet and escape the consequence of sin. Refuse to surf. It'll keep you out of deep water. Know where you're going and what you want. I actually call this the shopping man syndrome, okay? You probably found this out, you and your wives or your daughters. Men shop differently than women do, okay? Okay, when men shop, it's almost like Amazon.com. You find it, you get it, and you get out of there. You know, you go to the real expensive, fancy stores, you know, like the Farm Store or Ace Hardware, and you get in, you get it, and you get out, not ladies. You ever go shopping with your wife, and, oh, I'm just going to try this outfit on, you know? And so she goes back, and there's a bunch of guys sitting in overstuffed chairs. Said, how you doing, guys? They say, good. We called it a pizza. You want to join us? I said, no, thank you. I'm not going to be here that long. One of them had a little boy. I said, how old's your son? He said, I don't know. He was 2 when we came here, okay? It's just like that. But men, they get in, they get it, and they get out, okay? And that's what we have to do when it comes to being online. And that doesn't take, okay, you take your phone. If you have a problem with, we'll say, Instagram, would you please go and just put it at the lowest time setting so that you only get 8 minutes a day? You can do that. It's about the time you're flipping to, no, I'm not going to look at anything bad, and all of a sudden you're tempted. Time is up. Now you're not tripping and falling in sin, because if you say, no, give me 15 more minutes to sin here, now you're volitionally going after it, okay? Know where you're going and what you want. Sumo wrestler principle. Let me explain, okay? Sumo wrestlers in their own way, they're cool. All 600-700 pounds when they, you know, I would not want to look like a sumo wrestler. I'd love to eat like one, okay? I get embarrassed wearing diapers in public. But anyway, these guys come out and they get in a big circle like this, you know? And what they do is if the one guy comes and goes, ah, and he knocks the guy out of the circle, he loses. Guys, I'm not going to spend my life right here on the edge where poof, one little hit comes. You know what I'm going to do? If that's the edge, then I'm going to stay as far away from the edge as I can. Here's a great Bible principle to teach, not just to your own heart, but your kids and your grandkids. Don't just stay away from sin. stay away from temptation. Lord, lead us not to temptation. Put every block and every filter you can on your computer when you're walking with God and doing well. And then when you're tempted to sin. Kind of like in counseling, drug counseling, we have a little acrostic. We use HALT. H-A-L-T. If you're given to drugs and you're tempted and you're hungry or angry or lonely or tired and you're tempted, you will sin. What do you guys do after you have a bit of a fight with your wife? Where do you run to when you're lonely? Why is it the most sin at night? Because of weariness and tiredness. But if while you're walking with God, you make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Say it with me. Hard to sin, easy to do right. You have put so many filters and so many blocks. So when you want to sin, you can't. You can't. That's cool. You say, well, doesn't that kind of show that you don't trust? I don't trust me. Do you trust you? We all have a flesh. Let's be honest with each other, okay? Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on his character, his characteristics, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make it hard to sin, easy to do right. Protect with passwords, filters, delete button. We know what to do. It's not the how. It's back to the why. The final principle is the strange woman principle. Remove thy way far from her. Come not near the icon of her website. That's what it means in Hebrew there, okay? Lest you give your honor to others and yours to the cruel, and strangers be filled with your wealth. Okay, guys, we are all tempted. We live in a terrible, yucky world. But if you are looking at something, then you pull out your little piece of plastic and you type in four numbers, expiration date. And like you buy this stuff? Strangers be filled with your wealth? Whoa. You're not falling into sin. You're violently and forcefully going right after the sin. Then it says, lest you give your honor to others and yours to the cruel. You can come to a wonderful church like this. You could have been members here back when Pastor Hester was the pastor back in the 1800s, okay? You can live for God 25, 30 years, raise your kids, send them to Christian college, teach Sunday school, be a deacon. 25 years, you live for God. One night, you sin and you get caught. What do people remember about you? Your 25 years of doing right or your one night of sin? You want to give your years to the cruel? And believe me, they'll grab them up quickly. Concentrate in your relationship with your family. Just think about what it would be like to call that daughter in Bible college before she finds out another way and tell her what's been going on. Concentrate in your relationship with your spouse or your future spouse for you single guys. What it be like when she sees what you really are? Concentrate in your relationship with your Lord. Ezekiel. You see what my people are doing? They've driven me out of the sanctuary. They don't want to worship me anymore. And now, Ezekiel, they're turning their backs on me. They don't even want me in their lives. My prayer for every single one of us, guys, is that we would never, ever become enslaved and get caught in the dark side of the internet. This is one of those days I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. None of that. We know our hearts. Some of you guys are doing great. Really, you've been victorious in so many ways, and some are really struggling. But just your willingness to be here and look at what God says is wonderful. I'm going to pray. We're going to take a break. And then the next session, I want to show you how literally the Word of God can totally, totally change our hearts, okay? Father, I want to thank you for convicting us. Because we hate to sin. It's like Paul wrote down, it's like we want to do what is right, but this evil, this wickedness, this desire in us just overtakes us. So please, Father, would you give us such a love for you and a love for our families and our friends that that love would overpower this crazy love for self that we struggle with. Thank you that you are so patient with us. Thank you that you're so forgiving and that you so love us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thank you for these guys who are here this morning and that we get to dig in your word together as we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.